Welcome to the Dad Challenge Podcast. My name is Josh.
I'm Jeff.
And this podcast, we talk about things like...
Why haven't we done a podcast in like a month?
It's just been one of those months. Jeff.
It's been so hard.
Jeff calls me one day. He's like, man, I'm sorry I'm so busy. But this... Jeff's got a rental house, right? So he has to take care of it. And Jeff's dumb because they have a pool at this rental house. And when you offer a pool... Is it not your responsibility as a landlord? You have to take care of it?
I don't know if it is or not. I'm sure I could have wrote it in that it was theirs. But the thing is, I don't think so. Because the reason I have this house with the pool is because it was my house.
Right.
So at the time when I went to move, if I wanted to sell that house, for me to buy another house that was like the equivalent that I paid for that one, I would get lesser a house, right?
Right.
So it was kind of made sense to keep it, no fees, no blah, 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 right?
Right.
All that stuff. So anyways, yeah. It has a pool. So the pain in the butt is that I got to deal with this pool. So last year, the concrete went for crap. The liner went. I had to replace the concrete liner.
Jeez.
I had to like do the whole backyard. And I like doing things right. I don't want to do it just garbage. So it's just dealing with it. Because the weather last year was terrible, right?
And I have been kind of like in this, you know, post-fired phase of my life and just trying to figure out what that means for me. And the next week we're going to have someone on we're going to talk about that whole process.
Yeah,
I don't want to give too much away right now, but you know, as a guy who's almost 40 going through this process, it's been really difficult and exciting. So I want to talk about that next week.
Is that the first time you've said that out loud to anyone?
No, I think I've said it a couple of times.
Well, you've alluded to it.
Yeah, I've alluded to it, but it's a long story and we're going to get into it a little bit and we're going to talk about what it means. And especially, you know, mine is different because it's ministry. And
yeah,
it's like,
for sure.
It's definitely like I want to teach you guys how the sausage is made in ministry. And it's going to be cray. Like, you're going to hear things that are going to be like upsetting. If you didn't know how churches ran in the back end, you're going to find out next week.
Are you painting with a broad brush saying...
I'm going to paint with a broad brush. I'm not going to get into too much crazy detail.
No, but I'm saying, are you painting with a broad brush and saying all churches are run?
No, okay. But a lot of them are.
Sure.
I'm going to paint it with a brush that says, in my experience, this is what I found.
This is what's happened.
And then a lot of other pastors' experiences.
Hmm.
And it'd be really cool to have a show where we talk to ex-pastors in my line of ministry.
Yeah.
Or my line of work. And then we'd be cool to talk to firefighters in your line of work who have like gone through the mire and the...
Getting fired?
Just about the job itself, how the sausage is made.
Sure.
Just like real stories, you know, uncovering. Anyway, that's to say that's coming next week. I'm excited about it. But here, I got a would you rather, Jeff. It's your favorite time of the day.
Let me hear it.
Would you rather have someone in your community who is a billionaire, okay? But this billionaire, on one end, would you rather this billionaire be a person who is like racist and like super terrible to people, but actually pours money into the community and helps them, even if it's those people that he's racist and terrible towards? Or have a billionaire who is social justice warrior, politically correct, says all the right catchphrases, has the heart for like people, but does nothing with his money except hoards it.
Holy cow. So you got one guy who's got the money,
mm-hmm.
puts money in, but dislikes the people that he gives money to.
He's just
verbally
unlikable. He's just you don't like him. You hate him because he's a dink.
Right. But he's generous.
Crass, but he helps people with the money.
He helps people. Yeah. And then the other guy
who's nice and everybody loves him and he doesn't help with his money. He just hoards it. But he's like, he says the right things and he's very nice.
That's tough. I mean, obviously you want to hang around with the guy that talks nice, but I mean, if it's all just lip service, that's no good. So you got to go with, I don't know, I got to go with the guy I think that's pouring the money out because money helps people.
It really does.
I mean, if it's used correctly.
Yeah, if it's used correctly.
This
is a Reddit would you rather, and it's probably alluding to someone like Trump, right? Someone like Trump who's a billionaire who says what he's going to do.
Does he really do good with his money?
I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's some money.
What are you talking about?
Billionaires have to give their money away.
He's been bankrupt a million times.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's a dink and he doesn't give his money.
Speaking of billionaires giving money, did you hear about Madame Holmes?
No.
That dude?
No.
Just dropped $100 million.
Yeah.
Donated to a hospital.
Are you serious?
$100 million.
I have beef with Madame though. So that helps me.
I think a lot of people do.
I feel that feels good.
But does it not make you ask questions? What did a guy have to do? Why is he giving $100 million?
Is there some kind of back end?
I don't
thing
know. That's what it kind of wondered to me.
Maybe.
Does that not make you wonder that? $100 million. That's the biggest donation I think that's ever been given to a hospital.
One hospital got it.
One hospital. I'm pretty sure. I don't know which
one.
Was it what?
Was it Chio in Ottawa?
I don't know who it was. But anyways,
$100 million.
That's how much money do you have to be able to give $100 million?
Just drop it. Maybe he owes a lot to the CRA government.
That's what I wonder. I wondered the same thing. Is it? It kind of sucks that your mind goes there though, right? Like somebody does something generous, and I'm like, why? Why all of a sudden 100 million?
So then that's cool, because then if you see this guy who's crass, he's generally, people who are like that are generally open and honest. Maybe okay. Not honest is the word, but generally they're open. They're pretty transparent because they say what's on their mind. So maybe it's better that those guys are giving money because they're just like, hey, I'm giving it because I'm giving it. Mm. Whereas somebody who like mad at me is giving money and you're like, oh man, there must be something going on. He's being bribed or something, you know, something happened. He killed somebody.
You gotta think that, yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. So, I would actually rather, you know, the crass person obviously putting his money in where his mouth is, even though if he's a complete wiener that no one likes. So that's my choice. Anyway.
Sure.
But, let's get into Dad Joke of the Week.
All right. I got one. It's a little segue one. So have you heard, Josh, that the Secret Service is no longer allowed to yell, get down to the president okay. If there's a shooter?
Why?
Because you know what they got to say? They got to say, Donald Duck.
That's... because his name's Donald.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I wonder what Trump's call sign is for POTUS when they call him. What do you think they call him?
I don't know.
Cheeto. Cheeto's on the move. You imagine? I wonder what it is, though, truly. It's probably like hairpiece or something.
What would they call him?
Orange. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I wonder if people who are around Trump, like his securities detail, the people who actually work for him, if they actually like him. What if truly he is a likable guy, but he is just so... okay, this is going to sound like I'm a Trump fan or whatever, but what if he's just so brilliant with marketing that this has just all been a big ploy?
You think he's a character? Like he's playing a character?
I think so. Or I think he's doing it so deliberately, the way that he's doing, because in the end, we're going to see that something happened. Like in 20 years, are we going to look back on this presidency and be like, that was the most brilliant thing we've ever seen in our lives. He took the social hit to get the things done that needed to be done.
Really?
That's what I'm not saying.
Haven't you heard interviews before he was president?
Think about this for a second. This guy is the president of the United States of America. That you cannot be stupid and have that. It is impossible for you to be stupid and be the president of the United States of America.
Do you remember George W?
He's not stupid, though. I mean, maybe it is not. Maybe it's slightly possible. But I'm saying there are people behind yours marketing. There's so many hundreds of millions of dollars poured into these people who understand how to manipulate markets and marketing and advertising and the social media. Like, look what Russia's doing. Look at all this stuff. I'm just saying, maybe, I I'm just spitballing it. I'm just saying it out loud. In 20 years, we're going to look back and say, that was brilliant.
So maybe he's running his presidency brilliantly. Maybe your theory on that could be correct. But when you're talking about, is he a likable guy?
Yeah.
All I can think of is like interviews that I've heard with him or behind the scenes, like talks where he's talking about grabbing women's crotches or how he walked in to the change room of the Miss Teen USA contest. And then when questioned about it, he's like, I get away with stuff like that. That's disturbing.
So there's no way. So there's no way he's likable.
I just think that you know arrogant people, and this guy's to another level of arrogance. Yeah. There are arrogant people who are a tenth as arrogant as him, who they cringe you. Like, they're cringy. You don't want to be around them. They're just, it's too much, right?
So I want to see a silver lining. Maybe I'm trying to just root for the underdog. But I think even in the end, no matter what, again, and I always come back to this, it's the middle majority voted this guy in because they were sick of being told from the left and right what to do. It's the fringes. The fringes. Anyway, I don't know where that got to the dad joke part of that. But
because of Donald Duck.
It's true. Last week's podcast, we had the wives on.
Yes.
And the wives came on and they did this exceptional podcast.
Hey, you know what? I'm proud of them for doing it.
You know what? And I'm specifically proud of Trish. Kathy wanted to do it. Trish did not. She went kicking and screaming.
She really didn't. She last minute. You know what? We kind of got in a little bit of an argument about it.
Yeah.
I would say to begin with, mostly because she felt I was pressuring her, and I really wasn't. I kind of thought that she wanted to, and so I was kind of trying to encourage the things that she was afraid of. Like, oh no, it's not that big a deal. Like, kind of trying to downplay it and stuff like that, which I think in the end made her upset.
Yeah.
So when she did agree to do it, I mean, that was a stretch. Like, I'm definitely proud of her for doing that.
And she stepped out of her comfort zone because that's not something she's comfortable doing.
No.
And if you got an early catch of the episode, by the way, Trish, when she was listening to the episode, for some, I don't know how she did it.
She was previewing the episode.
She was previewing the episode and she published it.
She by mistake.
And so here's what happened. And this is not Trish's fault. It sort of is. It's half my fault because I put it in there because I wanted her to hear it.
So, well, you were letting us
so
hear.
So my wife has bought me these dad jokes cards. It's like a game, right?
Yeah, it's just a funny gag,
gag gift. And I've never even opened them because I'm like, thanks, but no thanks. Because, again, my wife and her family are terrible at gift giving. Anyway, that's another podcast. We've already talked about it.
We're not grieving yet.
So she brings down the pile and just happened to grab the dirty pile. One dirty pile. And she grabbed that one.
Sure.
So she brings them down and Trish starts reading them. And just like, and Trish is like very innocent to me anyway. I don't think that Trish doesn't have a dirty mind. She doesn't speak. She's very proper. And
we gotta fix that.
This is what makes it funny because she's reading these dirty jokes and it is hilarious. Kathy's in tears. I'm editing this thing. I'm in tears, Jeff. I'm texting you.
Oh,
I heard it. And I'm like, I can't believe how funny it is because I'm like, I would listen to a podcast of Trish telling dirty jokes all day long.
The best part was that she was reading them and you could tell that she wasn't fully like, she's just reading words, right? Yeah. So then when it kind of sinks in what she said, she starts giggling and laughing and it was so funny.
I was good. Her jokes were good, but like, I just felt like it got published early. So if you got to listen to it, you're lucky, but it's never going to be published.
And you would have heard the terrible interview as well.
Yeah. So we had the girls got a chance to interview Alisa from the One Extraordinary Marriage. It just didn't go very well. Two things went wrong. The audio didn't capture really well. And she wanted to talk about sex.
And yeah, Alisa said the word sex, which our wives both went,
that sounds real. Sex is a bad word. And so,
and then never asked the question.
It was cringy. It was really cringy, but not cringy to the point where like, it was just like, they just weren't interested in. And here's the thing. The women get on the podcast and they're like, let's set the story straight. And Kathy steps up with her, Josh called me a prude. Yeah, because you are. You don't even want to talk about it to a professional who literally makes her living talking about sex, which is not just about sex, the dirty part of sex, which it's not dirty when you're married anyway. But it's about sex in a context of marriage that makes your marriage better. They didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a little bit.
And the fact that it was 7-day sex, as soon as that happened in Trisha's mind, she's like, ain't nobody tell me what to do.
7 days of sleeping on the couch challenge.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
I love it because my favorite part of the whole thing was, okay, so Kathy tried to set the story straight on something. I don't forget what it was, but that for sure, that she's a prude, and she absolutely is. Trish is like, I'd like to set the story straight on thing. I like ripped jeans. And then Kathy's like, do you have any? No. And then she's like, I want to set the story straight on something that Thatcher said. And she's like, Thatcher said that I judge people because I saw a teenager with a backpack, and here's what I said. Maybe it has alcohol in there. I'm like, Trish, that's exactly what Thatcher said. That's exactly what he said. He literally just set the story straight for Thatcher. Yeah. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she connected the two. I thought that was hilarious.
It was so good.
It was good, though. I mean, we've had some fans reach out, and they say they liked it. So.
Nice. You know what my favorite part was? My favorite part was when Trish was talking about how she always gets sayings wrong, because she does. It's funny, right? And the one is... What did she say one time? She was talking about some place that was like making bank, right? Yeah. And she says, this place is raking in a killing, right? It made no sense. But anyways, she was trying to think of that on the fly and couldn't remember what the saying was that she messed up. So she says to Kathy, I'm going to Google Jeff.
So in the midst of a conversation, she gets it wrong.
It was awesome.
We need to hold on to these Trishisms because they're perfect.
Oh,
they're
so
perfect.
Good.
So they did they did a good job. And then they told us the things that they loved about us, which was nice to hear because they don't ever tell us anyway, generally. Although after the podcast, my wife's been texting me a lot more lately saying, hey, I really appreciate you taking care of the kids. I'm like, yeah, it's what dads do.
Very nice.
I'm not a babysitter. I'm actually a dad.
Trish actually planned a little weekend away for us too, which was nice, which was super cool.
It's funny. But in the back end, you didn't hear a lot of the stuff because Kathy went up to get the cards.
Yeah.
And Trish is whispering into the mic. She's like, I hate this. She's like, Jeff, I'm never doing this ever again. And she was whispering some things and I was laughing so hard. I just couldn't. I wish I could show you guys the funniest part of this. I would have Trish and Kathy on here telling dirty jokes as a every day. Our ratings would skyrocket.
That's the way to start them, to get them to do that.
And
it's not even us anymore.
Like, we should have prude wives tell dirty jokes. I would listen to that all day long. It was so funny, man. Because she's just innocent. It's not something that she does.
It should be prude wives tell dirty jokes and then we explain it to them after.
It's so funny. So let's topics. It's a big one. We haven't been on a month.
Yeah.
And like lots of stuff has gone down for show.
There's only one thing going down right now.
What's going down right now?
The Raps.
The Raptors. Man, if you're not watching the NBA, here's the thing.
Canada, everybody's watching.
Everybody in Canada's watching the Raptors because the Blue Jays blow goats right now. They are terrible.
The Blue Jays are horrendous.
Horrendous. So no one wants to watch them. But the Raps are in the finals, which is the first time ever in franchises, 24 years, something like that, 25 years.
They've been around that long.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
And so we had the Vancouver Grizzlies. They're gone out of the NBA. But the Raps have never been in the finals at all. And
never
the last
2 years
have been in the playoffs. Finally in the playoffs because we got Kawhi, who's my... love Kawhi. You know why I love Kawhi? Here's why I love Kawhi.
Because he's no quiet. Nonsense.
He's no nonsense. He's just like, he gets a foul. He doesn't complain. He just all ball. That guy is literally, and he's apparently super frugal. He bought a house here, so people want him to stay. And the phrase is, he stay, because they want Kawhi to stay.
Yeah.
And he's being treated like royalty. But the thing that bugs me a little bit is that this guy already makes millions upon millions, and people are giving him free apartments and condos and food just to keep him here. And I'm like, he doesn't need it. That's the thing that bugs me.
Soon that's going to be happening to us, though. You know that.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody on Insta right now making a comment that there's something free for us, probably.
We need free stuff. Other than that, everybody's showing up. Siakam. I don't even know any of these players till now. Okay, I know all the players now.
Spicy P in that first game was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
The way he was ripping down boards, and it was crazy.
Like,
and hit no shots. He doesn't normally do that.
Exactly. So I'm hoping Kawhi's been quiet for a couple of games. So if you don't know, we're in the finals against the Warriors, and all the Warriors people, as soon as Toronto won the last series against the Bucks,
yep.
Warriors boards lit up. Warriors in four, Dubs in four, four in four. Yeah, so I'm on the Reddit boards, and I love reading it because that first game, we beat them. Like, we handily beat them.
Oh.
Right? We handily beat them.
Just like we handily beat them the first two quarters of
Yeah, and then we shut down in the third quarter. Like, I don't know what happened there. Anyway, so the Raps are happening. Like, what do you love about this?
What do I love? I love Van Vliet.
Yep.
Dude's awesome. He's a dad. We need him here.
Van Vliet, come on the show. We would love to have you.
Yeah.
Talk about Steph Curry. You're talking about Steph.
Oh, my goodness. You talk about a grievance about the game.
Sure.
Yeah. Steph Curry.
He's a classy guy.
Okay. I actually am... His play, his shots are unreal.
He's
I don't even
so
understand.
Good.
He's like... He could be like in the dressing room and throw the ball up and it somehow goes in.
And swishes like beautifully every time.
Yeah, it doesn't
even
touch anything, yeah. Right? It's just... It's unreal. And the way he can move, like the way he goes through... But the thing that I hate is this foul that he draws where he... Lines up. It looks like he's going for a shot. And then he takes a step back into somebody on purpose. Like, he knows they're there.
Yeah.
It happened to Siakam.
That's the skill, though. That's part of his play.
I don't like it. You don't think that with a foul, there should be some kind of, like, intent to foul? Like, it makes sense if you're going up the block and you miss the ball and you hit the guy. That's a foul.
Sure. Yeah.
But if you're retreating to your defensive end.
Yep.
And you're just running, and this guy steps back into you while you're trying to get back into the position. Like, I don't know how that's on you.
That could just be a bad call, but you know, he pulls them off all the time, as you're saying.
It happened at least twice in the last game.
I think stars get preferential treatment because
yeah,
stars bring in the
houses.
Big bucks. Yeah, obviously. But I think even on the from a ref's point of view, these stars are the money makers. I think they have like this circle of refs that get together with the NBA top level, you know, brass and say,
right.
These guys get treated differently.
That's ridiculous.
And you look at it. Look, Kawhi Kawhi's so good at getting, because Kawhi drives to the net and gets fouled on purpose.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't draw the foul. They foul him.
That's fine. The other foul I hate is when a guy's being guarded and the guy's got his arms out and they reach under and bring their arms up into the guy's arm. That's another dumb foul. There's no intent to foul there, but they do it all the time.
Yeah.
You see it in slow-mo and the guy like brings the ball up and throws it like sideways. It doesn't even make any sense. No pass attempt, no shot attempt. I don't like that because that's starting to get, for me, into soccer territory.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to embellish.
Faking it,
I hate embellishing.
I didn't really watch any NBA till this year, to be honest with you. I've never watched a full NBA game before this year.
I used to when I was a kid.
Did
when
you?
I was a kid, okay. That's what I actually watched. I was like, I loved the Showtime Lakers. Like when Magic Johnson was on, I loved it. Like I had like 15 Magic Johnson posters in my room. Like I loved it. But then I got away from it, right? Like as you kind of grow up and you know, family and stuff like that. So I was never really into the Raptors. Hmm. Even though when we were younger, the Raptors started coming up. I probably had one t-shirt.
Yeah.
That was it. But it's fun now,
it's been
right?
good for the city. People are doing, what are they calling it?
Jurassic Park. Parks all everywhere. Over Canada.
Yeah. And all of the U.S. wants the Raps to win.
Yeah.
Nobody, Golden State's the only state that wants Golden State. California's the only state that wants Golden State to win.
Yeah. I was listening to the radio that, I'm forgetting the name again. What did I say? Humble and Fred, right? they were, one of the guys on there was talking about how he went to New York for the weekend, and he said he was at a bar, went with his daughter, and they had the Raps game on, and he said everybody was cheering for the Raptors. Nobody wants Golden State to win it again.
Because they won five times, like, they've been in the playoffs five times in a row, they won two times in a row, like, gifts. It's not that they don't want them to win, it's like, it's not fun when someone keeps winning the same thing.
Yeah, you like cheering for the underdog, right?
It's different if it's like golf. You want Tiger Woods to win five times in a row because you're like, it's unstoppable. Like one person dominating a sport is different than a whole team.
Yeah.
But man, when Steph Curry came out in the first game, I'm like, this guy is good. Like, wow.
Oh, he's unreal.
But Kawhi's better. And Kawhi is legit, dude. Kawhi is better. I'm sorry. He is better.
And the Raps all playing together, man.
They're just killing it. I love it.
It's going well.
All right, what else is on the Hot Topics list right now?
Trump in England, does that count?
Yeah, that's a hot topic. He went to England. Everybody hates him there.
That balloon they made was amazing. Baby Trump. The orange thing with
the
hair.
It's so funny. Because
it looks exactly like him.
It really does. And it's going to a museum, apparently. Like, they've had it out a couple times.
How angry is that going to make him? Because he hates, like, if somebody says he's got small hands, like, he's, like, held onto that grudge for, like, ever, right?
Again, I think he just revels in it. I think it's all, like, this is a part of his plan. He's like, this is it. This is exactly what we need to be doing. This is important. As long as I'm still in the forefront of these people's minds. It's just, really? I don't know. I could be.
Maybe.
It's just me. I trust my gut on these things. I trust my gut on this.
Yeah.
But, and then he hates the mayor there who hates him equally. What do you call him?
He called him, he tweets when he lands. The mayor of London is a stone cold loser.
It's such a good burn. Like, it's old school, but it's like, it's old man-ish, but it's like, yes.
Why do they allow him to still have a phone?
That's so funny.
But he's a leader of a nation.
I know, right? That's the funniest part of this thing. You imagine like, being the mayor of London, get the tweet and he's like, are you serious?
Because, like, you're just saying, like, Kawhi, you love Kawhi because he shuts his mouth and he gets down to business. Yep. That is not Trump.
That's not Trump. He's not. He's the guy that's diving and making flailing arms and, like.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. London is just going through, you know, England itself is going through a big craziness right now.
Yeah.
One of the things that I caught today was the reason he's over there is because the celebration of the D-Day, right, which is one of the most important parts of our history. I love World War II history, by the way. I love it. D-Day, if you've never, and you don't know what it is when they were, you know, D-Day is when the end of the war started, basically.
Yeah.
The tides turned, they stormed the beach of Normandy.
Big push on Normandy.
Saving Private Ryan is a big, amazing, if you watch it, that's basically what it was. And they're celebrating that. But what I saw today was, now this Pride Month thing is starting to happen. In London, mayors, you know, all these mayors, everybody's like pride, everybody gay, we love gay people. And everybody's putting out their gay pride flags because they want to make, you know, money off being social justice warriors and like virtue signaling, which we'll get to in a minute. But what's happening is one person just said, like, why don't we celebrate D-Day for a month? Celebrate literally the reason you're allowed to have all these freedoms you have, gay and vote
and have
all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we celebrating it one day when that's one of the most important parts of our history? That right there was crazy.
Sure.
And they're saying now that the gay pride is overshadowing D-Day, which is one of the most important parts of history, which a lot of liberals would like to erase World War II history and say, no, we shouldn't have done anything. We shouldn't have killed millions of people. We shouldn't have done this. We shouldn't have, you know. And a lot of Democrats tend to be Holocaust deniers. Because if you look at anti-Jew or whatever you call it, anti-Semitism, it's generally on the left, which I don't understand why. Conservatives are generally pro-Israel, pro-Jew, it's weird. I'm noticing that. I didn't notice it before now. But Democrats are the ones who are generally the ones who are anti-Israel, anti-Jew.
Well, they're anti-religion, right?
Right.
Like, altogether.
That's
so that
true.
Would make
so
sense.
That makes, okay,
so
that makes
anti-Christian,
sense.
Anti-Christian,
yeah.
Well, sorry. They're not anti-Muslim for some reason.
Yeah.
Acceptance.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's super... Well, because it's all about acceptance, so they feel that... I guess that they're oppressed, but that's weird because...
No, because because people are like, well, they're the ones who blew up the World Trade Center, the ones... And then because a conservative president... was saying that that's what they did. So they're saying, well, no, now we have to go against whatever he says,
right.
Which was Bush.
Yes.
And then, you know, you got Trump, and they're like, well, Trump is anti-Muslim, and Bush wasn't anti-Muslim until 9/11. And now they're like, no, because they have to go against it. So if Trump was pro-Muslim, they'd be anti-Muslim. That's just the way it is. It has nothing to do with it. But if you think about religion in itself, that is one of the most fundamental religions against women's rights, which Democrats absolutely love, against gay people, which Democrats absolutely champion at every level, against freedoms. They do so many things, honor killings and kill women for being raped, and they're standing up for this culture. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, but let's not all of them, right?
You're right.
Like, that
it's
would
not.
Be, again,
the
that's
fringe
that
fundamentalist.
Fringe fundamentalist of Muslim, because there's Christian organizations that are doing psychotic things as well.
Just as bad.
Yeah, okay.
So just as bad. You're right.
I want to clarify that.
Yeah, you're absolutely true. And I think that every fringe part of any religion needs to be eliminated, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, because it's...
Because they're useless. They are the ones that everybody bases judgment off of every single time. And Christians suffer because of it too. Muslims suffer because of it. Jews. Although I don't know if there's really a... Is there a fringe Jew? Like sect? Is there
They have fringy sideburns, which is pretty cool.
True little curls. But I don't... Is there a fundamental Jewish thing that really stands out as a denial of human rights? I'm not sure. I don't even know.
I don't know.
Ah, that's weird.
Not that you hear about it anyways.
That's true. Anyway, so that's Trump in England, which we got onto the Holocaust, which is crazy.
That orange balloon. I want one.
Also, what's happening here in Canada is Trudeau and this thing that happened with the... So in Canada, we have First Nations, and there was this... I guess they called it... There's a whole bunch of things going on. So there's a school... What's it called?
Yeah, they put the kids all in school. They tried to, like, assimilate, I guess, is what they tried to do, right?
By eliminating the history of...
And here's another fringe thing. They put them into religious schools, and there was priests and things within those schools, and the people that were charged with caring for these kids ended up abusing a lot of the kids and treating them very terribly. It's a terrible story from history. It's awful.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like the worst thing that could have happened to, you know, First Nations people. And by the way, you know, I know a lot of First Nations. My mom is half Mi'kmaq Indian. I am a quarter Mi'kmaq. You know, I'm not invested in the native culture, but it's in my blood, and I'm not super angry about it. But at the same time, because I didn't have a part in it. And so I understand that, yes, we should never forget that history. And this is happening in the States too, with like slavery and everything else. It's that they're asking for reparations when nobody is alive today from that moment.
Right.
And they still want reparations for, it's a confusing topic. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I'm just saying that gets crazy in depth, because if they're not even surviving anymore, we remember them, we honor them and everything else.
Yeah.
But they're not only talking about the natives that were at the school, they were talking about all these women, missing and murdered native women over the years.
There's been horrible
things. They spent $92 million to find out what happened to these native women and found nothing. Except for the fact that I think a large percentage of them were murdered by native men, because they were looking for what they basically were. Spend $92 million to find out what white guy is killing all these native Indians.
They wanted someone to blame.
And then they came out and they called it. And now that the big word, the G word, is the genocide. They're calling the school thing and then the native women a genocide. And people are like, you can't call that a genocide. I'm siding with them. You can't call it a genocide. The Holocaust is a genocide. Literally. Although you could call it a mini genocide if you're trying to assimilate people to eliminate any native culture. That I would say cultural genocide for sure.
Yep.
Not genocide of people. So they're just, you know, and Trudeau is now saying, you know, it was a really crazy. He's always on an apology tour. And he's the opposite of Trump as far as like eloquence and like being a nice guy and everything else. But it's not working for you. But yet you do the same thing over and over again, like Trump. It's not working for you to be an asshole, yet you continue to be a complete jackwagon. These two men, opposite ends of the spectrum, both don't work for them, and they still continue to do the same thing.
I watched some of his speech at this conference that he was at. It did not seem genuine to me. It seemed like, I mean, I know that they have people write their speeches, and I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah.
But a little tip for Trudeau.
Yeah.
Try practicing your speech.
No, it wasn't even ums.
It's just, he's like emphasizing strange words. Like, it's like Thatcher is reading Shakespeare, like, cause he's got to do this thing. Right. And he's reading it. I'm like, you know what, buddy? I go, you got to figure out what this means so that you know what you're saying, even though you don't use those words, but so you can emphasize correctly.
Yep.
This is like words he knows and he's emphasizing so ridiculously. It just seems so not genuine to me. It just bugged me.
This is why I know that Trudeau is just basically not a Manchurian candidate, but he basically is a figurehead put in place in power by people who wanted him there because he was the fresh face. He was the son of a prime minister. That, you know, he just was the guy to do it.
Pretty boy.
Everybody behind him, he's a puppet. I know that sounds so cliche, but he literally is a puppet with these other men hand up his arse, telling him to talk and do what he says. There's no way this guy's qualified to be a prime. And I'm not just saying that because I'm not liberal and I would consider myself. I'm just literally, you can't deny it. it's literally undeniable
yeah.
that this person was just put there because he was the guy for the job and is being told what to say and do and act. And so when he makes a mistake, he gets thrown on the bus too.
Yeah.
All these scandals and all this thing. So the liberals are just flailing at this point. Like they know, like Scheer must just be laughing all the way to the bank. But like this stuff bugs me.
Yeah.
A lot. Well, and so I don't know. One more hot topic going into grievances.
Okay.
In front of me now, I have switched from MacBook to, I moved on to like an MSI, like a gaming laptop, because I need to edit in 4K, right?
That thing's fancy.
It's very nice.
It's got like racing
stripes. About half the price of a MacBook and about twice as powerful. And this is what pissed me off about Mac. Everybody need to move chairs at once in my house? So this is what pissed me off about Mac. They just dropped their new MacBook Pro, or Mac Pro, iMac Pro, whatever they call it. Mac Pro. I don't know what they call it.
I think it's called...
Looks like a cheese grater.
I think it's called $3,000.
Yeah, it's I love Mac 3000.
Yeah.
And it's $6,000, by the way.
It's $6,000.
$6,000. It's and again, and they're super proprietary, although it's expandable if you buy the expensive one. So if you want to expand it, you get the expensive one, you can expand it. But they have this stand for this $5,000 monitor, by the way. $5,000 monitor, you heard that right.
Okay.
For editing.
Yeah.
The stand to hold this monitor is $1,000.
What's the stand?
Somebody did the price of silver by the weight of the stand, and the stand is worth more than silver in the same weight. Literally, you could buy a bar of silver in the same size and you'd save money.
Is it made of silver?
It's made of unobtainium or something like that. No, it's because it's proprietary. It's proprietary. So Apple, some guy was filming it. When he dropped the price, the whole crowd went, "You should," like all these fanboys for Apple don't care what the prices are except this monitor stand. Yeah. They all... And the guy just rushed off the stage. So funny.
Because even fanboys of Apple know that Apple are dinks.
Yeah.
Because all they do is they package everything exactly the same way and charge you through the nose for it. It's crazy.
I love some of the things that Apple does. I really like AirDrop and I like some of the things. I like the phones. I'm just like, I'm starting to get a little bit like shaky. And I think the whole world is starting to kind of get there as the millennials started moving on in the Gen X wires. Who's next? Gen Wires?
I don't know. What happens after you get Zeds?
I don't know, man. You go back to Gen 0, Gen 01, Gen 2. I don't know. It's going to be weird.
Remember Generation Next? Wasn't that Pepsi?
Oh, yeah. They coined it. But I'm just saying, what's going to happen is the fanboys are going to die off. They're going to get older and they say, look, I want power. I don't need a flashy phone anymore to be like...
Yeah, people got to stop caring about packages.
They're going to start caring about what they're putting in their pocket and they want a better product. I'm not saying Apple doesn't make a good product. They really do. But a $1,000 monitor stand? Come on.
Like, and sorry, the stand goes on top of a table?
Yeah, it's a stand.
Like, what do you mean a stand? Doesn't it stand by itself? What happens if it doesn't have the stand? Does it fall over?
No, it stands and holds the monitor.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's making me
mad. Monitor doesn't come with a stand, so you have to buy a $1,000 stand for it.
Okay, they should be punched in the face.
And that's why they YouTube got punched in the face by releasing this video. They didn't want it out there. And this guy released a video and people were like, now it's like all over the internet.
Good.
So they're going to have to like, but you know, Apple doesn't care. They're laughing all the way to the bank. They're crying with dollar bills in their pillowcase. They don't care. They don't care.
You know what Trish says about them?
What?
She says they rake in a killing, those guys.
These guys are raking in a killing.
I got a grievance right now. And tell me if I'm offside, because this actually just happened to me on the way over, as tends to happen. So I spent all day yesterday spreading yards of soil because my lawn at the rental's wrecked. So I put soil everywhere, seeded, trying to get the lawn to come back nice. And then I also got some soil to my house, the house that I live in, to top dress. I got some holes in my backyard. I'm trying to make my lawn nice. I like that. I want my lawn to be nice.
Side note.
Okay.
Sorry, I brought the dog over to Jeff's house the other day because we're doing photo for our new photo shoot. Westy's ripping up Jeff's like flower stuff, like these like big leaf things. And like, I know that's not funny because this is Jeff's pride and joy, his lawn. Weston's just ripping up these things. I'm like, I'm embarrassed. Just like, no! Weston's like, sorry. You're so funny. I'm sorry, Jeff.
No, it's okay.
You gotta buy a new leaf, but that was hilarious. You're like, this house is not made for you, Weston. You have to leave.
Weston, put your straight jacket on.
Sorry.
Okay, so you're probably going to think I'm offside on this, but I spent a lot of time top dressing, seeding, like trying to get these holes out of my lawn. So I did the front lawn too. There's big. This guy from the neighborhood today comes walking his stupid dogs. He lives like literally a street away, and all they do is they come and they do one loop of our like little crescent and leave. But he usually walks like we got the big circle in the middle that's full of grass. Usually puts his dogs there. For some reason today, he does the full perimeter. And I've got soil and seed that I just put down. And it's very obvious. There's soil everywhere. He lets the dogs on these stupid long leashes just run up on my lawn. I come out, there's like 10 footprints through all the new soil that I just raked and did all nice. Like, maybe I'm this a little bit anal, but really?
No, you're not the a-hole. And that's a segment we need to add to this, because I love the I love Reddit. Am I the a-hole? And so someone will put out, am I the a-hole for not doing this or for thinking this? You're not the a-hole in this situation. That dog owner is the a-hole.
I just don't, like, what's going through his mind? Like, does he get some joy from, like, allowing that to happen? Like, it just...
Maybe they just spaced out. They don't understand. They don't see it. They don't get it.
But it's like, it's so obvious.
But you're not
like, when you look at a green lawn and there's this patch of brown that's literally raked beautifully, I just don't get it. It blows my mind.
Did you yell at the door? That was raked beautifully, jerk.
No, because I was thinking of other things to scream. It's making me so mad. Anyways, there was actually, speaking of hot topics or grievances or whatever, there was a huge grievance about dog owners in Toronto. I was listening to it on CBC. Oh, man.
What's going on?
It was just both sides, like going like people who hate dog owners and dog owners who hate people that hate dog owners. But it's just like, same thing.
What's
it's
the grievance,
like,
though? Like just going
because,
to the beach and stuff?
Because there's no place to take dogs, right? So there's people that are letting their dogs piss on other people's lawns. And the problem is, and actually at the rental house, that was a corner lot. So people would walk by there all the time. And I know that the boulevard section belongs to the city. Not much I can do about it. Mm-hmm. But because it was a corner, people walk it there. There was tons of people that would let their dog stop there and piss and have a dump. Some people wouldn't pick it up, which is annoying because I'm mowing the lawn. Like, that's terrible. That's not nice to me.
You don't pick up your dog's crap.
Yeah.
You're a bad person.
But the other thing with the pee and what people are annoyed, well, the thing is if one dog pees there, every single dog's going to pee there.
Yep.
So you end up, they actually talked to a lady who was talking about dog urine, and she said it's actually really good for the lawn, provided you dilute it.
Right.
So this one dog owner, she actually takes a bottle of water with her, dog pees, and she dumps the water, and it'll actually fertilize your lawn. The problem is when they dump it all in one spot, which most female dogs will squat, and actually Ed does too. Ed doesn't mark territory like other dogs. Yep. I don't know why.
Mine doesn't either.
He just basically spreads out, pees once, so he'll burn my lawn too. But she said if you dilute it, it actually fertilizes the lawn. The problem is when it all goes in one spot, it's too much nitrogen, it burns as though you fertilize too much.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So it's... Anyways. But there was a big thing about dog owners, the same sort of thing. Am I the a-hole? And there were some funny stories of people calling in, and one woman, she was getting so mad about her garden, she planted stinging nettle.
That's hilarious.
Poor dog.
Just put like that's not the dog's fault, the dog owner. No, like, you know, if your dog's got to take a leak, I don't even know what to do. Do it on your own lawn before you leave. I don't even know what to say about that.
Like, and I mean, I just think it's just be sensitive. If somebody comes out and says, oh, that's a garden, because there were some stories like that. It's like, lady comes out, she's like, your dog is literally taking a dump and then scratching my garden. Because you know they do that. They take a dump and and the lady's like, oh, I didn't know it was your garden. It's like, how do you not know your dog's in a garden? Yeah. Like, people know what gardens look like.
People in the city are a bunch of jack wagons.
Maybe.
Have you ever been to the city before? People who live in the city, not everybody, 88% of the people live in the city are kind of weird or just jerks in general.
You just got to think
it's
of other people.
It's true. Right? And that's like, in the city, though. Everybody lives in this little crumped up little city. It's like a prison, right?
Yeah.
They don't have space to themselves. There's hardly any grass anyway.
Right.
And so people it's plus if you live in the city, you're probably pretty wealthy if you live downtown Toronto.
For sure you are.
And so you're probably already, you know, one of those people like in my neighbor that drive one of the Audis or the thing that don't care. You're probably just those people. Like, there's so many generalizations being thrown around right now, but rich people just tend to be that type of person that just don't care about others. And that's not everybody. It tends to be leaning on that side, though. Okay, I'm not watching anything. Can you tell me what you're watching?
Tacoma FD.
Okay.
It's hilarious. It's about a fire department. And we've been having some crazy training going on at work, and guys are just getting kind of burnt out and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we sat down one evening, we watched this, and we laughed so much. Anytime we hear about a firefighting show, all of us kind of like forget it because you know it's terrible, right?
Yep.
This thing, it's done by the what's it, Lizards guys? The
Super Trooper.
Yeah, the Super Trooper guys. So the Super Trooper guys do this fire department show, and all of the antics that go around on in the hall, it's kind of like that.
It is
and it is so funny. And those guys, I love those guys. The Super Troopers.
They're funny.
Do you see Super Troopers too?
No.
It's good. And this Tacoma FD, It's good. You gotta watch it.
I'll watch it because you're a firefighter. You get all the jokes and stuff that are probably going on, right?
It's so funny.
That's cool.
And even some of the calls that go on, it's pretty realistic. Like some of the crazy stuff you're into. I mean, obviously there's a comic element to it, but man, it's funny.
That's good.
And then the other show, and this is actually going to be a continuation of Grievances, is I watched, on your recommendation,
yes,
Aquaman.
Aquaman was good, dude.
It is horrendous.
No,
it is,
it's not. It's not that bad.
It is.
It's not the best DC movie, but it's decent as a DC movie.
No, it's not. It is terrible.
It was so bad.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you. One, the acting of the main dude.
Somoza is good.
Nope.
Or whatever his name is.
And who's the Little Mermaid? Where they dyed her hair to be exactly like the Little Mermaid.
She's hot though.
She's a good looking lady. She's a terrible actor. In that movie.
Maybe I couldn't see beyond the looks.
The CGI that you talked about, what did they do? Every single time the bad guy came into the scene, something blew up and then there was like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And his outfit,
Which outfit?
Black Manta.
What was wrong with his outfit?
He looks like one of the villains from the Power Rangers from the 90s. It's terrible.
Man, I got to rewatch it now.
No, don't rewatch it. Never waste your time watching that movie ever again. Whoever's listening, you can no longer trust Josh's
I generally have a good ratings. I didn't say it was the best. I think I only gave it like a 6.
It should have been -6.
No, it's not that bad.
It's bad.
Man.
And it was like, I mean, they sort of gave an origin, but it was ridiculous how quick that movie started with Nicole Kidman washes up on a rock. Dad picks her up. They bang. All of a sudden, he's Aquaman. That's terrible.
True. Nicole Kidman still got it, man. She is, what is she, in her 50s?
I think she's older than that. I think she's in her 60s.
She's legit a jaguar.
But she's not find it slightly, like her face creeps me out a bit because it shouldn't look like that.
What's wrong with her face? Oh, with the prosthetic surgery that she's getting.
I don't know if she is.
Get injections and everything else.
I know
There's
that
no
she protects
don't.
Her face. I know that that's always been a thing that people have talked about, but I honestly don't understand how she can possibly still look that way. And it weirds me out. Like
CGI.
Trisha's often talking to me. She's like, oh, so-and-so, like just a little bit of Botox. I'm like, once you start playing that game, people look freaky.
Yeah. You can't, I can tell right away when a woman is like, why do you have so much in your lips and your eye? Like you can tell it looks bad, but they don't see it. It's got to be something that they can't see.
Or when they're talking and there's like no upper lip expression or movement, like there's something, it's just odd and it draws your eye. And I think it makes it 1,000 times worse.
Oh,
just age gracefully.
Yep.
And I mean, I know that we'll probably get flack from women that because women always say, oh, men age better. But
we do though.
Yeah. It's not our fault. We're handsome foxes. Like that's not our fault.
It's just,
that's genetics.
Genetics.
But you have to just accept it because you know what? You look better.
If you're not fake.
Yeah, if you're not fake.
Although I'm sure there's some women out there who pull it off and you can't tell and you're like, that's awesome. And so that's what these women are trying to achieve, but they can't afford the type of thing. Nicole Kim and all these people get injections and they get, you know who bugged me about that is Mindy Kaling, whatever her name is from. She was in The Office, then she was in her own show.
Yeah.
She's in the Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
Mindy's pretty young. She's probably in her late 30s, I'd say. And she literally Botoxed the garbage out of her face for that movie. She looks ridiculous. And I'm like, why did you do that?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Because she's hanging around all these women that are a little bit older. Look, you know, though, Kate Blanchett is the most purest, beautifulest. If she has a plastic surgery, she's the best one in the entire world. Kate Blanchett is literally, I didn't really notice Kate Blanchett till later on in life, but she is... Nobody touches Kate Blanchett. Not even like, it's not even like a sexual thing. It's perfection.
She's pretty. Yeah.
She's an angel.
So here's the thing. You say that people don't have enough money to do it, but all these people have tons of money and it's still going wrong.
That's true.
So that's why I'm saying just let it happen. Like, I mean, do preventative things like take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Cover up your face. Don't go and do the leather face, like bake in the sun with Crisco on your face. Like that's obviously not wise.
Guys can, girls can't.
I don't even think guys, have you seen the guys that do that?
Yeah,
dude,
that's true. They look like burnt raisins.
Anyways,
we don't have uteruses. Nicole, we're not allowed to talk about that stuff, Jeff.
No, I guess.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
But
Nicole Kidman, I'm sorry.
What am I watching? Nothing. I literally been so busy just like being a loser. But I did. I went and took Tristan to watch Endgame again for the second time. It's better the second time. It's better the second time.
Are you serious?
Man, when Captain America steps up at the end and he's all good, his ass has been beat and he just looks, he gets up. Because that's been Captain America's thing. He always gets back up, right?
Yep.
He gets up and he says, Avengers, when they're all coming up behind him, and they hits the hammer in his hand. Assemble. I like, dude, my nipples got hard. Like,
I had to, like, shivers,
I
eh?
Just, I got the shiver. I get it now thinking about it. Like, I was like, there's not a better cinematic moment in history for me.
Josh actually just peed a little.
I peed a little. It's a little. just the tip. But I've just, you know, for everybody, I know that I say cinematic moment in history, that's so good because it's everybody wanted it. It was perfect timing. Yeah. It was just unbelievable. And then when Tony Stark's like, I am Iron Man and snaps, nothing better. Nothing better.
It was good.
You got to watch it again because it was that much better.
I'll do it.
So 10 out of 10.
I did watch another thing.
What?
That I want to shout out because it was good.
Yeah.
Fighting with the Family.
Okay.
WWE Entertainment is the one, or the people that produced it. Yeah, well, The Rock's only in it like as Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, who is happens to be like at an arena where wrestling's happening.
Okay.
So they talk to him. And his part's hilarious because it's The Rock and he's awesome.
He's amazing.
And he's in it once more in there. But it's not about that. It's about one of the women, I can't remember who it is, who's actually made it into the WWE.
Yeah.
And it's like her story. She's from England.
So is this a true story?
Yeah, it's based on a true story, making it in. Yeah, but it's done well and it's funny.
I'll watch
and
it.
And it's good. Like, yeah, I would say I give it a 7 actually because it was like entertainment value for me.
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Okay. I love The Rock.
Yeah, it's good.
We also
he was good in it too.
The Rock is like becoming close second to Chris Pratt to get on the show. The Rock is just loves everybody. He
super
shouts
positive.
At everybody. He's always positive. He's funny as hell. He's ripped. He's super hot. And he's just like, he's The Rock, man. He eats like 28 pancakes in one sitting. I love that guy.
Have you ever seen his Instagram?
Yeah, I watch every day. I follow it every day.
I'm actually pretty sure because he's like, I've never seen anybody as busy as him. Like he literally did, I think he starred in 75 movies in May.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, seriously.
And then he works out every day.
Seriously. He was in the...
Jumanji 2?
Jumanji 2. He was in the Fast and the Furious.
Yep.
Some Disney movie.
Yep.
And now he's shooting Ballers.
Yep.
And this Ballers, at the same time. How does
he
do that?
He's crazy,
so
man.
So I think that he probably has time for us.
Or he's been cloned. Four
maybe,
times.
But maybe one of his clones will come
he's
here.
He's got
because
time for us.
He does.
He's got time.
Because he's got time for everything else.
He's a dad. He's an amazing dude.
How many kids does he have?
Two, like, I think. I want to say two.
No, he's got one that just graduated high school.
Oh.
Because I saw that on his post.
He doesn't really talk about his kids a lot.
He posts on.
I think for privacy reasons, which is cool.
Yeah,
I respect
that's fine.
But like, man, I love to have The Rock and Chris Pratt. Maybe we can get them both at the same time and then literally our podcast would go above 100 listeners.
Is Chris Pratt ever going to come?
I haven't reached out to his people yet. I'm just waiting for that.
He's got a new movie coming out.
Magical moment. He's got tons of movies coming out.
But Chris Pratt's got this like animated one.
Another animated one, yeah. It looks weird. I'm watching though. It's Chris Pratt.
I still want him to come on the show.
I want to see what's next for him, like big wise, because you can't get any more Jurassic Park out of him. He's Guardians. They're doing another Guardians. I'll watch that for sure.
Guardians.
I gotta see what I hope he does something like half serious next.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I hope he does.
I would like to see that.
I'm really excited about that. Or we want to talk about something today that was like kind of like eating at me a little bit. Like I was listening to this podcast the other day, Francis Chen. And I'm a pastor. Everybody knows that I'm a pastor. Francis Chen is a pastor and he's a really, really cool guy. And he had this podcast called Rethinking Church. And because I'm going through this whole process of rethinking church myself, right?
Sure.
What's next for me? What am I going to do? How do I feel about what happened at this church I was at and how it's made me feel and where would I land next if I do land somewhere and what does that look like for me? And he talked about the fundamentals of church, right? It was really cool. He hit hard on some of those topics. If you're not a Christian out there and you really want to hear something cool about Christianity, listen to Francis Chan. Don't listen to anybody else. Francis Chan is the person you need to listen to. Francis Chan is legit because he started a church, became a mega church pastor, became famous and quit it all because he realized that was wrong.
That's
and
pretty cool.
He set an example. All he wants to do is talk about Jesus in a real way. He's funny. He's relevant. So if you are out there even just considering looking at what it looks like to be a Christian, don't listen to anybody but Francis Chan. This is what I'm saying. Don't listen to me. Listen to Francis Chan.
So he almost became a celebrity.
He was a celebrity pastor.
And realized that people were coming
because
for
of
him as opposed to the reason why you should go to church.
So he dropped it like it was hot. A church of over 20,000 people.
So he didn't let his pride and his arrogance or anything get in the way.
He could have been one of the most wealthiest pastors in the world. I think he gave most of it away. He went to China. He did like underground church.
Wow.
He talked. It was crazy what this guy did.
See, why don't people
legit.
talk? Why don't people talk about those Christians? Because why does it always have to be that, the fringe guys?
Because the fringe is crazy in the news. Like crazy Kenneth Copeland and all these people that are always in Babylon Bee lately.
This is a fantastic thing to talk about.
So,
given
you're right. And I love Francis Chan. I'd love to get Francis Chan on this podcast. But anyway, so basically, cool. I don't know why I thought about this when he was talking about coming back to fundamentals. I said, hey, it sounded like coffee with my kids. I'm like, okay, I've got a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 17-year-old. And I've made it up. I'm going to make a pact. I'm going to challenge you, Jeff. I'm going to take each one of my kids out for coffee. Now, obviously, my 4-year-old doesn't drink coffee.
I think it might stunt their growth. Yeah. Is that true or false?
I think it's true, but I don't know why. I think that's true.
I think it's.
I didn't drink coffee.
I don't even know
sure.
if that's true. It's probably bogus.
It is bogus. Because
if they're drinking Mountain Dew, their growth's going to be stunted.
Yeah. All my kids drink is apple juice.
Okay, I apologize.
For what?
For interrupting with the little...
I apologize. I interrupt you all the time. So basically, I just thought, I'm going to challenge myself to take each one of my kids out for coffee, which means I'll take Tyson out for coffee. And I'm not gonna ask them to tell me about anything. I want to just say, how's your life? I don't want to know about school. I don't know about the things you've done wrong, what you think you're doing wrong. I want to know how you're actually doing. I want you to ask me questions. What could I do better for you? And I'm going to literally take them and look them in the eye. There's no phones, nothing like that's out. And I'm going to say, we have an hour or whatever it is. We're going to go do something together. And I'm going to do that. By the end of next week, it's going to happen.
You knew all four?
All four kids by the end of next week. I'm going to take them out separately.
Have a little and daddy date.
I'm challenging you to do the same thing with your kids.
All right.
Because I think it's just an important thing that I'm missing.
That's something that I used to do and I've kind of gotten away from too. I used to call school, say, hey, I'm picking whoever it is up for lunch. And I tried to even it out. And I've done it a few times when I know they are struggling with something. So, but I got to get back to doing it just for the sake of doing it.
Just do the same thing then. Go pull Tito out.
Good.
Go pull Thatcher and Ty out for lunch. And I think I might do the same thing for Tyson and Tristan. And then for the littles, I'll just take them out at night and get an ice cream and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, I challenge us to do that. And one of the other things that we're starting to do here, my wife and I talked about it last night. I just was feeling really, I was just convicted about it. Like, I'm in the living room. My wife's in the living room. My kids are on their iPads. Tristan's on his iPad. Tyson's on his phone downstairs. Everybody's on their phone. Everybody, including us. And Tristan and I had an argument the other day. Why can't I have my cell phone? Because I'm like, you can't make good choices. And I'm like, why would I give you a phone if you can't even make a, you know, you leave your lawnmower out in the rain. You know, when you didn't wake up for school today. Like, but here's the thing. I'm telling him he's addicted to his phone when we are all the same.
Yeah.
So I've told my wife and I, when we come home from work from now on, the phones go away. Keep them in your pocket, whatever. They just don't come out. Not until bedtime. Fine. We can go in bed. You want to go on Reddit? You want to go color on your stupid whatever? She's coloring pixels on her phone. That's all she does. So weird. She's so weird. But I've decided that that's going to be a thing we're going to try for a little while. You know, just like put the phones away. My kid wants me to come in his little rocket ship we built out of a cardboard box, which you
I went in that.
Which you went in.
We went to Jupiter.
It went to Jupiter, which is nice. He likes to go to Jupiter. It's one of his favorites.
It was a good one.
But those are the types of things we're missing when we're like, I'm on my phone. I'm not paying attention. I'm like, Kathy, look at what's going on. Everly's hitting balls and in the living room. We're doing baseball. She's got a good swing now. I'm so excited. And Kathy's not watching. I'm like, and then when she's doing something, I'm not watching. And we're noticing each other. So we're calling each other on it. So something we're doing, that's not a challenge. I'm just saying, be mindful. Take this next week and actually watch what you're doing with your phone to see if it actually is impacting. Because your kids are seeing that. That's what they're seeing. They're going to emulate that behavior.
For sure. We fall into that too sometimes where I'll be like standing downstairs and I'm getting kind of a little bit annoyed because I'm like, why am I making dinner? And then Tito's up in her room on, the laptop. Ty's down in his room. He's on his phone. And Thatcher's somewhere else on some different screen playing Fortnite. Like, that's a disturbing thing when there's a family in a house and nobody's talking to each other. So, yeah, you're right.
Like, this is the norm of most households
I
right now.
I realize that.
But then you got the other fringe. We'll talk about the fringe, where you got families who are like, we don't even turn the TV on. We don't have a toaster. We don't have like,
we
got to
get
no
one of those Mennonites on.
I know. I'm just saying there are people that go the other way and they're like, they're like, all we do is look at each other in the eyes and play checkers and your kids are going to be serial killers. So there's got to be a middle ground, right? So I'm not saying don't not put your phone away. I'm just saying maybe be deliberate about the moments that you do. You're saying, so for after school, everybody, there's no phones till 7 p.m. There's no iPads till 7 p.m. There's none of this. We're going for walks.
If you come to the realization that something is not super healthy, it doesn't mean full rejection.
Right.
Right? It means, hey, let's come up with a game plan, like you're saying, which I think is brilliant. Yeah, it's good.
So that's
a good move.
Do.
Congratulations. But, you're challenging me without even challenging me.
Good. Do you have any parenting tips or stories that you want to share with us today?
I do have a little, victory, I guess.
You know, victory?
I don't know. Well, I don't know if victory, but like a
A win? How about a win?
A win. I guess it's the same thing, right? Yeah. But anyways, it was another one of those situations where I'm pretty transparent with the fact that I can get angry. Yep. So we were playing the spike ball game, and Ty's pretty ultra competitive, and he was Tyson's partner. And every time Tyson would not get a point or hit the ball funny, which happens all the time in the game, he was pretty, like, I would say mean. Like, I got friends who I joke with and, like, you make fun of and stuff, but this was, like, a little bit beyond for me. Like, I'm going, I don't know if you should be going that far, right? Like, so anyways, and then we switched partners. He went with Trish, and then he started being mean to Trish, and then he got mad at her, and she ended up leaving because she didn't want to deal with him. So then Thatcher steps in, and he's being the same to him. So I was already kind of on edge. Yeah. And then I made a call on something. The ball hit the rim, and it bounced off. And I made a call saying, you know, it doesn't count. And he starts freaking out. And he said something to me that made me really mad. Like and he said that's the way he talks to his friends. So when he talked to me, I'm like, I don't want to be your friend if you're going to talk to me that way. Anyways, it made me super mad, and I ended up saying something I didn't shouldn't have said. Like, I didn't take the high road. And anyways, all blew up. So I went to talk to him about it. He kind of rejected my apology the next day, so I left again. But he was going away on a trip, so I left him a note that just explained my part in the whole thing. I didn't say anything about what he did. Say anything about what he did that upset me. I just said, hey, this is what I did. I was wrong about the call. Mm-hmm. I said something that I shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. And I left that note for him, and he went away on the trip, hopefully reading that. And I said, I love you. Yep. And when he came back, the first thing he did was he came up to me and he apologized for his part in it too. So
leading by example.
Leading by example, a little bit of recovery time, right? Like we've talked about with Dr. Kirk. And
the recovery is important, man. I think over the life of this podcast, 22 episodes, I think what you specifically are hitting a home run on is your recovery time. From the day one, from the things we talk about at least, is your recovery time your recovery in general is just becoming like your priority.
Yes.
Right? So you're seeing the things you're doing, and then I think your kids are seeing that, and they're going to emulate the behavior.
Hopefully.
They are going to do that. Again, with the phones and everything else we're showing our kids. If we're showing our kids that we're competitive, I'm competitive, and I hate that I'm sometimes over-competitive. I really am, because I want to see my kids succeed, right? And I see the barbers always give their best no matter what. I'm like, and it's like, I'm hardcore about that because that's everything in life. But at the same time, I need to be like I need to have grace for my, you know what I mean? Yeah. So our kids are going to emulate every bit of behavior. When I scream and yell because I'm at something stupid, a dog did something or some, I scream and yell for no reason, whatever. You know what I mean? Mike Weston does it. You know, again, Weston did the same thing the other day. Daddy, stop yelling, he said to my face. And I'm like, it hurts when he says it because he's 4. Because
you know he's being honest.
And he is. And it's like, and he's right. And so they're going to emulate behavior. So the behavior that you showed to Ty, when he gets older, these are the things that they're going to like grab onto. This is the bond that you're creating. That as they get older and become dads themselves, they're gonna they're gonna take the best of us. Yep. Because I'm trying to lose the worst of my mom and keep the best, right? And there was some good stuff and there was some terrible stuff, but there's still some stuff that rears its ugly head, and I'm like, ah, my mom did that, you know? And I'm like, don't be that way. Like, can I have this? No. Why did I say no? Whenever I go to my mom when I was young, I'm like, can I? Nope. I wouldn't even get the thing out and she'd say no. I'm like, well, you said no. What do you say no for? That was her first thing to always say no. And so I do that and Kathy does that. And I'm like, why are we saying no to everything? Like just as a thing.
As a default.
Yeah, as a default. Let's stop that. So I'm really trying to be like, Tristan's trying to, can I go out with my friends? It's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, sure. You know, I'm really giving him more freedom and it's really paying off for him because he's getting more confidence and stuff like that. So I think the parenting tip of the week this week is just like what you do, your kids are going to emulate. So be careful. Do you want them to be that person when they get older? Right? Yeah. Do you want them to emulate your worst behaviors? Because we all have worst behaviors.
And that's what was sort of, this is kind of the flip side. The humbling thing about the way that Ty addressed me that upset me, it's probably my fault.
Yeah.
I have probably emulated that behavior in the past.
Yeah.
So therefore now I'm battling against that bad thing in myself, right?
Yeah.
But you're right. The road to getting better at that is to handle things better, right?
Right. And so, you know, that's why our artwork this season is what it is. We're badass dads who are coming for the world. You know what I mean? We're like, we're not putting up with anything. We're going to give it to you straight. We got the minivan in the back. If you haven't checked out the new artwork, check it out on Instagram. Check it out on Facebook. It's like Jeff and I had a blast doing it. I love doing those photos, Jeff. Like it only takes us a couple minutes.
Amazing at that.
It's so much fun. We just layer. Jeff sits there and we paint. I call Jeff the executive director. It's just like that needs a little bit of shading there.
I'm the critic. Yeah. Well, no, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to like I see some things, you see some things, and you know how to fix it.
That's our team. That's our thing. So if I miss something, Jeff, and so we sit down, we do this art, it takes us a few hours.
Oh, but it's so fun. But it ends up being so fun.
This season we really want to go hard on the, like, we're unapologetically better dads, and this is how we want to talk more about sex, more about relationships. I want to talk about teens and sex because that's starting to rear its ugly head around our teens. It really is, dude.
I don't even want to think about it.
I know what's happening. We got to figure it out. Porn, that kind of thing is happening with our kids.
Yeah.
We got to figure out the good and bad. And I know I said as a pastor, and people are like, oh, there's no good about porn. I'm just saying, let's figure out how to do this properly from not Christians. That's going to sound bad. I really, really want to understand how to do this, how to talk to my kids about porn and sex and everything else from a really, really balanced perspective so that they're not afraid to talk to me about it.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who aren't Christians, though, that would say that it's psychologically damaging.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So let's get to the bottom of it, but let's talk about the healthy way of doing it instead of just shaming our kids and saying, don't do that because that's how you're going to view women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's going to be a way to do it. But I also want to talk about things like next week, we're going to hopefully bring on a career counselor and talk about what it's like to be me right now. Yeah. If you look at our poster, you'll see, well, I'll tell you more about it next week. There's a little bit of Easter egg in there. But you know, it's no secret. I've been fired from my job and it's been pretty devastating. So next week we want to talk about what that looks like and what I've been doing and how I've been coping with it as a dad and then the podcast and talk about it and see what's next. Cause I'm excited and scared at the same time, right? It's really, really, it can be freaky. And it can be really, really nerve wracking. It can feel like an absolute failure as a dad because literally, and it's not even my fault. That's the thing that's scary.
No,
so this has happened to a lot of men. And even if you didn't quit your job or if you didn't get fired or whatever, and you're looking for a second career, this is going to be the episode you want to listen to. We're going to talk this season about what, mental health?
We'll hit the mental health. We've wanted to talk about that within families. We should probably cover that from a couple of angles, right?
We really should.
Kids and parents. There's definitely stuff there.
So we're not going to shy away this season. We're going to get funnier. We're funny. We can't get funnier because we already are pinnacle of funny. This season, I'm going to actually reach out to Chris Pratt's people and see if he'll come on.
Yeah?
This season, for season three. And then see what happens. That's not going to happen. I'm just saying. Maybe we'll have a contest where we're like, everybody has to tweet at Chris Pratt and like we'll get a we have to do contests. We have to. The only way we're going to get people to do it is like, you need to tweet this phrase at Chris Pratt. Get him on our show. 20-minute interview. A 4-minute interview. I don't care. I just want him to say hi. Welcome to Dad Challenge Podcast. That's all I want.
That's it?
No, if we get him, we get him.
I don't want him. If he says all he's going to do is say hi, welcome to Dad Challenge Podcast, beat it. We'll get the rock.
I'll take it.
No, beat it. I'm taking it. We'll get the rock.
Nope, too bad.
I love him, but he can't do that to us.
He wouldn't anyway. He's too nice of a guy. We know it. The guy's a class act.
That's what I think too.
But that's what
I mean. If he calls that, I don't even want to tell people because it'll upset me.
You know what? Chris Pratt is a classy guy and so is The Rock, and those guys will definitely be on the show eventually.
Right
now. Basically, let's just call it now. They're coming on the show. We'll write off that and we'll just hopefully do. Anyway, you can check us out where?
Check us out on Facebook.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Instagram important. Facebook
and
more important.
And Twitter if you want.
Yeah, but we don't really do Twitter. Nothing. But you know, whatever. It is what it is. We really want to grow that Facebook.
Listen
because
to the podcast.
The podcast is
tell
important.
Other people to listen.
Man, we got parodies coming out hopefully again. Hopefully. They're really hard to do.
Can't believe you put that video of me in the blouse.
That is an amazing picture. I've got another one lined up right on the computer right there. It's going to be awesome for Fashion Friday. Anyway, we're really excited about what's happening. Sorry we took so long to get back to you on this podcast for those listening. We're back in the swing. It's coming out.
We're real dudes who do not get paid.
Exactly. We got lives, but
sometimes things happen.
Yeah. But this is important to us. We know that, you know, the people listening, the 100 of you that listen to this thing.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know what? That's not a small amount of people. If I was talking to 100 people in a room, that would feel pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening out there, just share this with your bros, share this with your moms, and everybody, all the parents need to listen to this. Anybody. This is a podcast that's important for dads especially, but anybody should be listening.
Absolutely.
So thanks for checking us out. We love you and we can't wait to see you next week.
See ya.
Peace.